guess. Still good, I'm bad. Yeah. But I learned from the world.
So if there we are. Horton City Council will come back from recess. It is 2 p.m. and today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2010. Hi, Carla.
Hello.
How was your lunch?
I'm good.
Did you have a good lunch?
I did.
Okay, good. Can you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed with our agenda. And can you please read the item for time certain, scheduled to go for 30 minutes, item number 522.
Accept yearly report of the East Portland Action Plan implementation activities and community efforts.
Thank you. If I could have the presenters come forward, that would be great. Well, let's start with three.
Three at a time.
Let's start with three. As a Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability, I'm pleased to sponsor this report on actions of the East Portland Action Plan, the goal of which is to improve the quality of life, foster strong community connections, and increase the area's regional significance, along with improving equity for East Portland residents. As many know already, the East Portland Action Plan is a different kind of planning document. It contains strategies and actions to provide guidance and direction to public agencies, nonprofit organizations, and businesses and individuals across a broad array of opportunities and challenges facing East Portland. Today we're going to hear an update from some of the citizens who have been leading the effort, and look forward to the discussion. Who would like to begin?
I will do that. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor Adams. My name is Brian Heron, and I'm the co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan and also pastor of Eastminster Presbyterian Church in East Portland. And to my right is Chris Scarzella, who is the East Portland District Liaison from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and she's going to take care of our technical issues here. At a city council meeting over a year ago, the question was asked of you, Mayor Adams, what is the next step for East Portland in establishing ourselves on the political map of Portland? And you very clearly stated that what we needed to do was to build human capital in East Portland. And I've thought about that statement a number of times since then. Now, I have to admit, on the one hand, as a pastor, the term human capital does not roll off my tongue easily, because I do not feel it fully captures the passion, the values, and the spirit of a community. On the other hand, I have been intrigued by the growing relationship between East Portland and the city of Portland since the inception of the East Portland Action Plan over 2 years ago. And I think the term human capital is an appropriate term, because we are talking about the language of mutual human investment. You have been investing in us, and we are responding by investing in you. And isn't that exactly what community should be all about when we are dependent on each other for the common welfare of all of us? Over 2 years ago, the city took the step to invest in East Portland by establishing the East Portland Action Plan Committee. And I remember that first meeting when then-Mayor Tom Potter, along with Representative Merkley, much of the city council, including Commissioner Leonard, Multnomah County Supervisor Ted Wheeler, and Metro's Robert Liberty, as well as numerous city staff, joined the 18 of us who had an investment in East Portland. And at that meeting, the city clearly demonstrated that they were willing to jumpstart this process of building human capital in East Portland. I think you communicated that day that your investment wasn't just about putting Band-Aids on serious systemic issues. The presence of most of our highly elected officials that day told us that you were interested in what we had to say about the shape of our future, of our community. And today we are here, at least in part, to thank you for initiating that first step. Because if you had not, I believe and I am convinced that we would still be struggling to find a common voice in East Portland. So what I want to share with you today is that I believe that we do have a growing relationship of mutual investment taking place between the city and East Portland. Now, if I were a poet, I would dress that up a bit And I would say that what we're really doing is slowly learning how to dance with each other without stepping on each other's toes. From my view, as one of the original members of the East Portland Action Plan, I've been watching as we are each taking these steps together. I've been watching as you've made investments in us, and we have built a little more human capital. We've garnered a little bit more energy, and we've established a little bit more political will in the process. And as we have become more engaged in the political process, I've also seen more openness on the part of the city to trust that East Portland will speak on their own behalf for the good of our community. Now, granted, I do understand that we do have a long ways to go. I sit also on the Community Involvement Committee of the Portland Plan, and while I do my best to advocate for East Portland in the different committees I am on, I'm also disturbed that the surveys coming from East Portland itself in the Portland Plan are only half of what they should be based on our 28% of the population. And so on the one hand, while we speak for equity, we also know we have a ways to go to commit to representative engagement from our own community. But it is happening. We're making great strides. And here is a picture of some of what we've accomplished since the city made this investment in East Portland. If you refer to page 3 of Exhibit 9, you will see that the city 1 year ago adopted our recommendations for 268 strategies and actions of EPAP. And these actions cover virtually every area of community development, from transportation, parks, community building, education, and economic and environmental sustainability. We proposed, and you approved, money for storefront improvement grants, safe routes to schools, and investment in Gateway Green, improvements on Powell Boulevard and 122nd Avenue. In addition, we have recently distributed $50,000 in small community grants that have leveraged another $345,000. And ODOT's involvement in EPAP has leveraged over $31 million in transportation infrastructure in East Portland. Maybe closest to our heart in East Portland, we hired our EPAP advocate, Laura Wintergreen, who has been responsible more than anyone else for the building of our partner relationships. And if we want to talk about the building of human capital, in the 8 months since East Portland took over the lead for EPAP, we have developed 44 partnerships with neighborhood representatives, agencies, businesses, as well as passionate and concerned citizens. We now have numerous committees and subcommittees to carry out the specific actions of our projects, and the partnerships that we have initiated are also beginning to trickle out into the community as sort of a model of coming together. Currently, the Portland Development Commission, along with Mount Hood Community College, PSU, David Douglas, and Park Rose School Districts are working on the Gateway Education Center. And the church where I pastor has just established a vision team in partnership with Human Solutions, We've Got Time to Help, and other community partners for the redevelopment of our 3-acre site and ministry. One of the directions that I have been most pleased with is the ever-evolving nature of our charge and structures document, which is Exhibit 6 in your packet. And I think this captures the community-based nature of the work that we do in EPAP. The document is written in such a way to first establish our guiding principles, such as building lasting community leadership and relationships, ensuring participation equitably across our broad geographic area and with our diverse ethnic communities, and creating opportunities to build around our common values in East Portland. Also, EPAP is structured in such a way as to allow for the growth of numerous subcommittees as the interest and the passion and human capital in East Portland continues to gain momentum. And we fully anticipate that because our attendance has tripled in the last few months, we need to now prepare for ongoing growth and interest in the coming months. I can tell you that the feeling around the table at EPAP meetings is that East Portland is intent on being a force, a positive force that can't be ignored. We're ready, willing, and we expect to become full partners with the rest of Portland. In closing, let me say that East Portland again does thank the city for its foresight and its willingness to initiate this relationship with the convening of the East Portland Action Plan over 2 years ago. We are aware of the investment that you made in us, and we do believe this is the beginning of something good. You have invested a little in us, and we have responded by engaging a little bit more with you in the political process. And so we do expect this relationship to grow and to mature as we continue to invest in each other. Mayor Adams, one of the ways that we can think about this is that we are building human capital in East Portland. But because I'm a pastor, I prefer to think of it this way, that on December 1st, 2007, you crossed the river, you took us by the hand, and you invited us to dance. And we said, oh, thank you. We thought you'd never ask.
Very, very sweet.
Very sweet. Thank you.
That's very nice.
I'd like to turn this now over to Larry and to others who are going to paint a picture of our EPAP community.
Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon, commissioners, Mayor Adams. My name is Larry Coten. I'm a 20-year resident of East Portland. I have two daughters that go to East Portland schools. I live in Park Rose Heights, and I work for a manufacturing company located in Park Rose. So I'm definitely invested in and have an interest in our community. I'm here today to talk about the Small Funds Grant Program that grew out of the East Portland Action Plan. So a couple quick notes before we get to the good stuff here. If you look at Exhibit 3, the first two pages there show how we evaluated the grant requests that came in. Excuse me. Every request had to be keyed to a particular action item located in the plan and had to reflect the priorities that we established during previous prioritization sessions. And you can see those listed also in the exhibit there. So we've all heard the expression that the sum is greater than its parts. And why was that ever evident in our small funds grant program? Because here, 1 + 1 is not equaling 2 or 3 or even 4. It's more like 1 + 1 = 7. And that's because of the $50,000 that we awarded to different grants. It's leveraging almost another $350,000 worth of additional funds and volunteer support. So if that was the only outcome of the grants, we'd say that's a great success. What a great return on our investment. But it goes way beyond that, because if you look closely at those grant requests, what you see are neighbors getting involved and improving their communities. You see them bridging cultural divides. You see them expanding and supporting youth programs. And probably most exciting, we see them developing tomorrow's leaders. So I'd like to highlight one of those projects really quick that's a great example of this. The Alice Ott Middle School, which is in the David Douglas School District, is partnering with Free Arts Northwest and also with Northwest Behavioral Healthcare Services to create a photo voice video. And the intent of that video is to showcase their REACH youth leadership group and document all the different community outreach activities during the school year that those youth are going to be involved in. So the youth in that group, because of this program, are gaining access to photography training and access to youth development experts while making critical connections to a host of community leaders, service providers, and faith-based organizations. But even better than that, the video then can be used to facilitate further discussions with other groups, thus extending that program all over East Portland. And all that's happening with a grant of $2,000. So that's just fantastic. And in your exhibit there, Exhibit 3, you will see a complete list of all the grants that we did award in our process here. So all that being said, the need is still great. We were only able to fund 22% of the worthy causes that came to us and came looking for some money. So the need is still there. So my first order of business today is to thank you for your support of the East Portland Action Plan and, by extension, the small grants program that we developed. The second is to communicate that East Portlanders really are stepping up to the plate here and seizing this opportunity, just as we were challenged to 2 years ago during that first initial kickoff meeting in December of 2007. And thirdly, I want to urge your continuing support of the East Portland Action Plan and the Small Funds Grant Program as we move forward. We know really tough decisions are going to have to be made here for this next budget cycle, but we're really eager to build on the progress we've made thus far. And those of us with Eastside pride will make it happen. So thanks again for your support, and I'll turn things over to our very wonderful East Portland advocate, Laura Wintergreen.
Hello, commissioners and mayor. I'm Laura Wintergreen, and I'm honored to be the East Portland Action Plan advocate with the East Portland Neighborhood Office, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, City of Portland. As Brian said earlier, there are 268 action items in the East Portland Action Plan. If you want to make improvements in East Portland, we are the people you want to work with to make them happen. To bring your issues and dreams for East Portland forward, find an action item in the action plan, which is posted on www.eastportlandactionplan.org, and partner with us to make your great community even better. We provide language interpretation, childcare, and healthy local food at our meetings. Community members provide the time, the effort, and the will to make things happen. Exhibit 7, the Communities and Representatives document, shows that the EPAP supports individuals to serve as EPAP representatives on specific issues and supports people with common interests to develop subcommittees to work together. The document identifies each EPAP subcommittee purpose and their average attendance. Our largest general meeting had 45 people, and our subcommittees range from 4 to 13 members, one of whom has to be a regular attendee at the general EPAP meeting. Our subcommittees are predicated upon the understanding that relationship, process, and results are equally important. Each subcommittee is action plan related, and I draw your attention to the consistency reflected by the subcommittees, the small grants program awards, and the EPAP proposal for project priorities, which is your Exhibit 8. Next, we'll have David, Anna, and Karen tell you about the subcommittees in which they're involved. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Hi, welcome to City Council. Welcome back. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name.
Hi, my name's David Hampston. I want to thank you, Council and Mayor. I'm with the EPAP. Well, I'm the EPAP representative for the PBOT's Transportation Budget Advisory Committee and a board member from Hazelwood. But today I'm speaking in my capacity as the chair of the EPAP Bike Subcommittee. The EPAP Bike Subcommittee is part of the East Portland Action Plan, is dedicated to making East Portland more fun and safer for all residents and visitors to our area of disconnected streets. We have monthly meetings where we discuss with other residents and various agencies ways to make local improvements, as well as sponsor community rides in our neighborhoods. In fact, we have one tomorrow night. We're also public advocates for bicycle infrastructure improvements within the city. We've testified here to council at least a couple of times, such as with the Bicycle Master Plan 2030, as well as with the county, with TriMet, and with ODOT. All of us would once again like to thank you for having Sunday Parkways in East Portland on July 18th, and we invite the whole city as part of the annual EPO Expo, otherwise known as the East Portland Exposition. We hope this becomes an annual event. We hope that the city will continue to help us make biking more fun throughout Portland, and specifically support a bicycle master plan for East Portland. Thank you for your attention, and now I'll pass you on to Anna.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. My name is Anna Volkova. I'm here to speak on behalf of Civic Development and Engagement Subcommittee, representing Russian-speaking community, Voice, and Center for Intercultural Organizing. East Portland is different than most of Portland. We're particularly culturally diverse and have the highest numbers of immigrant, refugee, New Portland community members. This means we need to develop ways to respectfully involve our community. One mechanism we are embracing is language and culturally specific development of a culturally appropriate entry-level civic development and engagement workshop series with 6 sessions of 6 hours each that uses a train-the-trainer model. The curriculum we're working with was developed by Catholic Charities EI Program Hispana. Our subcommittee currently has representation from the following communities: Spanish-speaking, Hispana, Latina, Russian-speaking, Native American, Indian, Rwandan, and Bhutanese communities, with interest expressed from representatives of the Somali and Vietnamese communities. Workshop sessions are likely to include the law and crime prevention, including child abuse and domestic violence, which I would say are very vital for immigrants, refugees, and newcomers, housing, rental, and home ownership, and fire prevention, schools and education, transportation and health, immigration rights, and next step, community involvement, leadership training, and citizenship opportunities. Exhibit 8, EPAP project proposal priority, recommends that the city fund 6 language and culturally appropriate workshops. Each workshop session will leverage staff time from organizations providing subject matter services. Involvement on the Civic Development and Engagement Subcommittee has brought our communities together in planning and resource sharing. We also recently provided constructive feedback on the 122nd Street project and hope to see changes implemented. Thank you for your attention. And now Karen will speak about EPAP communications.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. My name is Karen Fisher Gray, and I'm the Superintendent of Schools for Park Rose School District. The East Portland Action Plan Committee developed subcommittees in order to involve more people in on-the-ground work for the group. One of these is a communications subcommittee, which I chair. The work of the communications subcommittee is as follows. Development of a friendly and informative EPAP brochure. The main purpose of the brochure is to attract people to our advocacy work and to stress the choice livability of East Portland. A quarterly newsletter that showcases the work of EPAP and its various subcommittees. Webpage and website development to display interesting information about the group, meeting places and times, and interesting and important East Portland activities and events. The subcommittee has been involved in strategic communication with the City of Portland by scheduling and attending meetings with the mayor and writing letters of interest and request. We are also members of various city committees and work groups. Most recently, the subcommittee developed a letter to the mayor making an interim request of $1 million for improvements to East Portland. We have requested translation and interpreter funding so that our members who speak different languages can access the group. We also asked for funding for our website so that it can be adjusted with a tracking system so members can update their progress on the plan. The subcommittee is now developing a plan for working strategically with Metro Council to develop partnerships that benefit East Portland residents. Recently, a member of this subcommittee, Katie Larcell, former Park Rose board member, was appointed to the City of Portland's Budget Committee. This is an important appointment for EPAP. Katie has an incredible understanding of the needs of our diverse community and will be a fine addition to the Budget Committee. I would like to thank City Council specifically for $100,000 in funding to develop a regional soccer field at Park Rose High School, which will benefit East Portland. I also want to thank you personally for funding the East Portland Action Plan Advocate position with Laura Wintergreen, who is truly wonderful. And now it is my pleasure to introduce to you our next set of speakers, Nick Sovey, Tom Barnes, and Marie Daniels. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Great work.
Good afternoon, Council, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm Nick Sovey. I'm the Director of Rose Community Development, and I'm also a member of the EPAP Committee and the Economic Development Subcommittee. The economy is on everyone's mind these days, but East Portland has been hit harder than the rest of the city. Statistically, East Portland has higher unemployment than the rest of the city. It has more foreclosures, and all the lowest-rated neighborhoods by the auditor survey are from 82nd Avenue East. Education underlies our economic problems in several East Portland neighborhoods. The rate of college graduates is only one-third as the city average. And economic development is one of the primary goals of the East Portland Action Plan, and the actions there include the East Portland Economic Development Plan, development of key opportunity sites, support for small businesses and workforce training. We've had an economic development subcommittee meeting for the last several months, and we've prioritized getting that East Portland economic development plan together, marketing and advocacy, and then supporting existing businesses. And we'd really like to encourage council to support the $1 million East Portland request that includes $105,000 for the economic development actions that include that economic development plan. It includes identifying properties and implementing zone changes to encourage development and youth business development as part of a youth engagement project. So I hope that the City Council will support this down payment towards equity in East Portland, and I'd like to thank you for supporting our folks in our neighborhoods and introduce Tom Barnes now to talk about transportation.
Hello, my name is Tom Barnes. I'm the co-chair for the East Portland Action Plan Powell Boulevard TGM Subcommittee. I would like to thank City Council and Mayor Sam Adams for the opportunity to speak concerning the subcommittee. The Powell Boulevard Subcommittee was formed on September of 2009 to be a unified voice of the community. The committee is made up of representatives from David Douglas School District, Centennial School District, Midway Business Association, Human Solutions, Powellhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association, Centennial Community Association, EPAP, and St. Timothy's Lutheran Church. The committee's vision for Powell Boulevard is a three-lane boulevard with a center turn lane, bike lanes, and sidewalks. We'd also like to see pullouts for TriMet buses and school buses, stormwater runoff into green spaces, i.e. swales, clearly marked and lighted pedestrian crossings, improved street lighting, and sheltered TriMet bus stops. We would also like to see zoning changes to encourage small businesses to open along the Powell Boulevard corridor. By having an organized subcommittee with a clear vision for the future, it is much easier for PBOT to get a feel for the community and what the community would like and support. The East Portland Action Plan initiated the Powell Boulevard Improvement Planning Project through PBOT with a $50,000 investment and is being matched by ODOT with a $330,000 grant. We are now in the next step and melding the Powell Boulevard Subcommittee into the PBOT Outer Powell Boulevard Conceptual Design Plan Citizen Working Group. We have got to work on the name of that. This group will be first meeting on April 19th, 2010, and will have a completion date of June of 2011. Only with the support of EPAP and Laura Wintergreen was it possible to organize such a diverse group and come to a consensus for the future of Powell Boulevard. The future support of EPAP and Powell Boulevard Subcommittee is urgently needed. Again, thank you for your time, and I'd like to introduce Marie.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Marie Daniels. I'm a business owner, a teacher, a youth advocate, and I am the chair of EPAP's Youth Subcommittee. The EPAP, although it does take the needs of youth into consideration, was created largely without youth perspective and input. That is changing. As you can see with me today, to make their presence known is a group of young people committed to bringing their voices, energy, and wisdom. And they make me so proud.
Well, let's give them a round
of applause. To the East Portland Action Plan. So as a group, we have two main objectives. First, to provide a structure for individuals, organizations, service providers, and agencies who serve and support youth to connect and organize to advocate around issues of importance, including resource equity, educational excellence, and economic opportunity. Second, we intend to be a vehicle for the youth of East Portland to learn about community organizing and gain experience in advocating for themselves, their communities, schools, and neighborhoods. To these ends, we are engaged in the following activities. Supporting our budget request mentioned by Nick to partner with the city's youth planners in doing a comprehensive study of youth-focused workforce-related programming in East Portland, translating the East Portland Action Plan into language that appeals to young people and has a better chance of gaining their attention and engagement, and creating a document that outlines the overlapping interest areas of the EPAP and the Multnomah Youth Commission's Youth Bill of Rights for the purpose of utilizing that existing work and developing a solid partnership with the Multnomah Youth Commission. We understand that the council has a strong desire to support and further the development of a strong, healthy, and vibrant youth community. And we agree that youth need allies in all levels of government, local, state, and federal. What youth do not always get is the opportunity to speak for themselves. The East Portland Action Plan's Youth Subcommittee is working on providing both, with input and direction from our youth members, as well as the ongoing support and commitment of City Council. We are looking forward to working with and representing the voice of East Portland's youth community. I will now turn the microphone over to Arlene. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Representative Smith, do you want to come forward as well? Hi, Arlene. How are you?
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Hi, Jefferson. Thank you very much, City Council members and Mayor Adams. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm the co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan. I'm also the finisher for the presentation, so I have no exhibits. But I did want to let you know that I have heard from community members directly that they were very excited about the action plan mode because we're doing something. We're not just kind of thinking about it. And to this end, I think we have made some real strides in getting members of the community that do not normally engage in civic governance type activities to come and be part of our group. I do want to think that we have made a very concerted effort to be inclusive and creative as well. And I would not thank you for the whole focus on geographic mapping of city spending. We also want to beg you, plead with you, and say, please do this, to fund the advocate position for another year at least, because part of it is that we need to have somebody help us with the administrative details while the rest of us are all going around trying to run a business for people to come to our meeting. We also have stepped up to the plate in providing EPAP members on various budget committees such as the police, parks, and transportation, as well as the City Council with Katie Larcel. Our subcommittees are community-driven, and I think it's reflected in our membership makeup and also the fact that most of the subcommittee people are real interested in doing it, and this is not an assigned task. They volunteered for that. I do want to remind you also that in the latest demographics that we have 28% of the population of the City of Portland. We have 40% of the school-age children. And I really hope that this process will allow us to work closely and get further equity into that fair share spending so that we're not quite as disparate as we have been in the past. I don't think it was intentional, but I think that we also needed to step up and participate. And I think you're getting that from our committee. I also want to thank you for this opportunity. And I know that all the subcommittees have worked very hard. And I'd like to finish with Brian's quote, if I may. And he said, in 2007, you crossed the river, took us by the hand, and invited us to dance. And we said, oh, thank you. We never thought you'd ask. And we're dancing now, and we appreciate it and hope that you will continually support our efforts. We have, you know, we presented our dollars, and we're just really hopeful that I think you will find that they've been well spent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Smith, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for having me. Mayor, members of the council, I represent District 47 in the Oregon House. My name is Jefferson Smith, one district to the north of Commissioner Leonard's former district. I was asked to testify today and encouraged to say things that someone shouldn't say who was asking for money or saying thank you for money that they had just received and hoping for some more. I was honored to testify a year ago, and I offer again that there are two kinds of earthquakes, those that build tectonic energy and those that release it. The East Portland Action Plan needs to be the building kind. With an estimated 28% of the population and 40% of the school children, this is Portland's next big challenge and opportunity. I don't say that because I represent that area. I learned it because I represent that area. In the last year, I have noticed three things. At least. The Portland Tribune published that not 40% nor 28%, but 0.7% of stimulus dollars were spent east of 82nd. I recognize the city can test those numbers, but even to get to a barely respectable 10%, the math had to include a development in Troutdale, a valuable thing, but perhaps missing the geographic mark a bit. The transportation package spent not 40% or 28% of its money east of 82nd, but as I understand it, 3.3%. and the council's commitment to build a new school and community center in the David Douglas School District that I was told was in good shape, so I set aside a bill on the topic, has been apparently set aside. There are two competing narratives. First, that Mid-County, East Portland, the Bedrock District, the numbers, whatever you want to call it, faces challenges largely because of the period prior to annexation, which, for the record, according to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, was unconstitutional, something I probably would have supported, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals did not, which included poor or zero planning and insufficient local citizen engagement. There is truth in that narrative. A competing narrative shared by a lot of the people who I represent is that the area suffers from neglect from inner Portlanders who don't live there, don't get political contributions there, don't get volunteers there, and don't even get enough votes there. Those recent events that I listed aren't of the Goldschmidt era or the Clark era or the Katz and Blumenauer era. They are of this era. The area surrounding and to the east of Commissioner Leonard's home base needs to be tied for the top priority of any topic the city faces. I didn't say geographic area. I said topic. It is the greatest threat to failure of the Portland experiment, and the failure of that experiment hurts everybody who loves this city. It was good to see Commissioner Saltzman advocate for the placement of domestic violence shelter recently. It was great to see Commissioner Fritz at one of her many neighborhood association visits. I understand the city is doing a study of where dollars are being spent. Methadone clinics and domestic violence shelters are critical. The plasma center serves a valuable purpose. We also need to recognize that those facilities are different than a Safer Max line, sufficient school facilities, sidewalks, and parks. I was really pleased to tour the district with Tom Miller and David Barenberg. Thank you to the mayor for providing their time and leave for that, and for some of what David just offered me some moments ago. And as I said to Tom then, we need to build tectonic energy. We need to make sure our meetings and actions are towards achievement, not towards appeasement. Let me also say my house is too glass. I mean not to throw stones. I have accomplished far too little for this part of the state. I believe deeply that every member of this city council cares about the city of Portland and that area. I've talked to each of you about it, and I consider you each more than acquaintances. I, too, need to find specific ways to help, and I want to help you as you find them. Finally, let me say thanks to Laura Wintergreen and the East Portland Action Plan Group who are helping, and thanks to the council for your support and their work. I am hopeful that good things will happen. I thank you for your time. Let me finally leave that my biggest message is focused at the people here, including members of the press, who I hope will help us all prioritize the area, because I know you have many competing concerns, and we need to elevate attention generally. Thank you very much.
So, Representative Smith, the city has not set aside the David Douglas School. It is under legal contestation from others. So, to be clear, thank you.
So, thank you. Am I allowed to respond to that point?
What is your response?
There was a bill pending before the legislature.
Frankly, Representative Smith, your entire testimony sort of sets back the great work that these folks have been doing.
Yeah.
And as one example to characterize the fact that the David Douglas, our satellite efforts on David Douglas, are we have somehow set them aside is just one example of not true. We are fighting in court to keep it funded.
Yeah.
So just the opposite of what you said.
So let me respond, Mr. Mayor. I must admit that when a year ago I came merely to say thank you and please and offered primarily humor. I am truly angry.
Well, so am I.
But to be clear, when I say set aside, I wouldn't say that that's inaccurate. There was a bill before the Oregon legislature. There was a bill before the Oregon legislature
Mr.
to allow.
Smith, it is inaccurate. You said that we set aside that project, and then this is just one example. We have not. We continue to fight it in court. It was citizens who appealed it. So there really isn't anything to respond to because that is just a clarification of a fact. I appreciate your point of view, and we all share your passion. But we have funded this effort to create the positive change,
yep.
And the folks in the community have more than responded and have leveraged and quadrupled our investment. And I'm a politician, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reforms to the city's budget and, you know, the frustration we have around the strings on stimulus, we all share those frustrations. So we're holding ourselves accountable with this plan. And, you know, we intend to continue to fund it because they've earned our support. So I really appreciate your point of view, but I want to keep us on the path of improvement and, you know, trotting out sort of old, inaccurate stuff.
Not old, Mr. Mayor. Not old. The last year. I was told I needed to push a bill because you were going to take care of it. Didn't do
it. I'm in charge of the city attorney's office. We're fighting this in court. So I appreciate your testimony, but I have an opportunity to talk as well, and that's a correction.
So if I could follow up with a question,
please.
Representative Smith, because I am interested in your thoughts about the bill, had the bill passed, and you're both exactly right. I mean, I can tell you I've worked with Mayor Adams on pursuing this lawsuit, but if your bill that you're fighting for would have passed, as I understand it, would make the lawsuit moot.
Exactly.
So maybe you could explain more about that strategy, because we do have a legislative session upcoming in January.
And had that worked, and I recognize the risk of saying anything harsh, and I assure you,
I don't mind if it's harsh, it just has to be accurate.
I considered it prior, and you should know there are people who testified today who were scared of the council to say some of the things they felt needed to be said.
They've said it many times in the past. Commissioner Leonard, I'll try to answer your question. What your understanding is
the bill would correct, and do we have a chance of reintroducing it in the upcoming legislative session?
If the bill were to be moved forward again, or if we were to pass the bill, I would deserve very little credit. It started with Rod Monroe and others, and even folks in the city of Portland.
Right.
And yeah, my understanding, it would have mooted the lawsuit at all. It was communicated to us by the city of Portland that we didn't need to press the bill. We were asked, in fact, to set it aside because there wasn't a legal concern, or because it would be more likely for the project to happen without the bill than with it. I don't know if the bill would have passed. I don't know how much people around the state prioritize the area. In fact, I know the members of city council are more aware of the challenges of the area than certainly the average member of the Oregon legislature. But the word I have gotten since from multiple folks is that I should consider the effort, and I'm very heartened, Mr. Mayor, to hear it, and I've also heard already your commitment to keep trying it on the project, but I have heard from multiple sources that I should personally set aside hopes that that project goes forward, at least with the current mechanism and maybe generally. If that is not the case, that is wonderful news.
So my question, again, is more focused on, we do have this challenge that we're fighting in court, but if we lose it, would we be able to look to you to help us next legislative session?
Absolutely. I don't know if I'd be successful. I'd do anything I could to help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just as a point of information, I receive campaign contributions from every neighborhood east of 82nd. I campaigned on the ground in every neighborhood east of 82nd, and I won every neighborhood east of 82nd.
And you should also know that I don't receive the majority of my campaign contributions from my district, right? And so, again, I'm not saying that this is a problem that was created by this council, and that you are the challenge. I think all of us need to face this challenge together and want to, you know, see to it that we do.
Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr.
Who
Mayor.
Else has signed up?
We have about 10 people.
Okay.
First, Jeff Belushi, were you going to be speaking? Jeff, okay. The next three, please come on up, are King Mangzam.
You're on a...
Are you Jeff? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
These people are for the Rose Quarter, I think.
Oh, this is East Portland, actually.
No,
fine. You scratch yourself off. Okay. King Mangzam, Scott Fogarty, and Sean Brandom.
This is on East Portland, not Rose Quarter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking. Go ahead and come on up. Glad you're here.
What about Tom Lewis then?
Right here.
Okay, why don't you come on up? And they'll be followed by Savon Robinson, Afisha Hassan, and Rezio Bravo Menendez, I believe it is.
So all you need to do is to give us your first and last name, and that clock will help you count down your time. Why don't you begin? Go ahead.
Sean Brandom.
Go ahead and testify. Yeah.
I am representing the East Portland Action Plan, as is everyone else who has just spoken. As a youth in the neighborhood, I've seen the horrible job situation. I know it's affecting everyone, but the thing about a recession is it affects the youth more than it does the adults, because when the recession is over, we still have the no experience title on our name that says you can't get that job. And the East Portland Action Plan is working towards offering more internship opportunities, offering more job selection opportunities, just hooking us up with the opportunities that we need as youth to get connected with businesses. That would be.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks for coming.
Unless you had more to say.
No.
Oh, okay. You did a great job.
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Fogarty. I'm executive director with Friends of Trees. Mayor Adams and councilors, thank you very much for hearing my testimony today. I'm here to talk about an exciting new and visionary project that Friends of Trees is undertaking along the I-205 multi-use path green space initiative along with ODOT and Metro. This falls under action plan item T.2.5 of the adopted East Portland Action Plan. And Friends of Trees in this unique visionary partnership with ODOT and Metro will plant and establish approximately 6,000 trees and 2,000 shrubs over the next 3 years along the entire length of the path. As part of this project, ODOT and TriMet secured $4 million in capital improvements, stimulus funding to add lighting, and to construct Division Street undercrossing along the path. As part of the capital improvement project, ODOT agreed to capitalize the green infrastructure along the path, trees and shrubs to be planted along the length. Because these trees are considered capital public assets, Friends of Trees was then in turn eligible for grant funding to the tune of $410,000 from Metro's Nature and Neighborhood Grant Program, Capital Grant Program, which requires a 2-to-1 match. About $820,000, excuse me, of a $1.2 million project. To date, we've raised approximately $600,000 towards that, but we still need to reach our goal. This project has actually created numerous community jobs within the local community, including 16 underserved youth through Portland OIC Workforce Inc., and supporting at least 1.5 jobs for Verde and 2.5 jobs for Friends of Trees. These jobs are part of purposeful equity Friends of Trees uses to help educate, encourage, and to provide living wage jobs in the most affected areas of 205. Additionally, this project builds on neighborhood awareness in some of the most underserved communities in the city. There are high asthma rates, low income rates, low canopy cover rates, and high minority communities where we are doing this planting. Friends of Trees has a long history of successfully galvanizing neighbors to help beautify our neighborhoods across Portland, especially in East Portland, as part of our Greater Green Initiative with the city's Bureau of Environmental Services. We build community by using volunteers to plant and care for trees while restoring the greater Willamette River watershed. The I-205 multi-use path will be highlighted as a pilot project across the state as a way to benefit community health and livability. We'll also be touting this at a national level at an upcoming Alliance for Community Trees Green Infrastructure Summit, where Senator Merkley is the keynote speaker. And so we will be highlighting this. This project helps to solve a greater problem that is an overall recognition of trees as a public asset to our community. And they should be financed over 100 years as a green infrastructure finance. We have planted over 1,100 trees in this project and 7 events with ODOT and Metro and our other partners. And the neat thing about this is just last planting, I was out with my 3-year-old daughter, and a neighbor came out. He didn't know we were planting. And he saw what we were doing, and he went home and he told his daughter, who was playing at home with her friend, to come out and help us. They ended up babysitting my daughter. But it was just an example how we've been engaging the community on either side of the I-205 multi-use, or the I-205 corridor, transportation corridor. So thank you all very much. And I'm done. Yeah, I was taking his time. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
My name is Tom Lewis, and I'm with Centennial Community Association, among other duties with the East Portland Action Plan. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. I brought a flyer about a park event that we hope to expand in our neighborhood, Centennial. Yes, there's 7 acres of established park land and 20 acres available that is park-owned space for the last 10 years or so. And there's been a master plan developed in the last year. And so things have real possibilities, and I hope that one of the elements of the action plan and making our neighborhood more livable is a parks issue. We're park deficient. The park is next to elementary school. It's got space for several soccer fields, community garden, tennis courts, swim center. The master plan labels it as a prize in East Portland that's available to the citizens. We're probably within a mile of the city line with Gresham, and that means that you can't get any more east than that as far as being in the city of Portland, being concerned with the issues that actually the East Portland Plan's outgrowth is coming my way, but it's not there yet. So as I'm included with planning and issues out of the East Portland office and the EPAP, the action plan, it just means that I'm still on the outskirts of even East Portland. So that recognition and needs of my neighborhood are paramount, and things, and is one way that East Portland Action Plan that I can take advantage of if, in fact, that money, the studies and the concerns of East Portland eventually get fulfilled. I appreciate the opportunity that the East Portland Action Plan is bringing my way. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony.
Next three are King Mang Zam, Savon Robinson, and I believe it's Alicia Hassan.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Sam Adam and all the City Council members. My name is King Mang Zam from the Zomi Association, one of the ethics group in Burma. Today, I'm going to give my testimony about the project called Learn Zomi Language. Zomi language classes will be during this summer, and with this program, we will give up the children, the school kids from the streets, and the Zomi language classes and community activity will be benefit to the community that are living in East Portland neighborhood. And the lack of this kind of community events or involvement will be loose for the identity for the Zomi community. Language is an essential part of our culture. Therefore, East Portland is assisting with this language lesson is very significant. This project called Learn Zomi Language will preserve our Zomi culture and heritage for the Zomi people, and also have a pride, help them our pride, I mean. And this assistance support East Portland grant will benefit not only the people living in East Portland, but also Zomi people living across the United States. It is really an ability to involve underrepresented population, and I really appreciate this East Portland is providing with this small grant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's great to hear about that. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Rocio Bravo Mendez, and I attend Park Rose High School in East Portland. I am here today because I believe that East Portland Action Plan is a good organization that can help my community in many ways. I live in East Portland, and I feel strongly about after-school organizations and programs. I am involved in Aventura Latina and Mecha. I have yet to see a Boys and Girls Club Center that is in walking distance for young teens to attend, to help them to have a better future in their life. So I feel strongly about that.
Thank you. Very well done. Very well done. Hi.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Savon Robinson, and I live in the East County neighborhood. I attend Park Rose High School, and I'm a part of Team Force at East Portland Community Center. In my community, I've noticed that we have a lot of drug issues in our community, and I would love to see that we have more rehabilitation centers and such, because I've noticed at my school that some kids go slightly off campus to go smoke or to go do things that they shouldn't be doing. And the security at our school, he does what he's supposed to do. He suspends them and writes them up. But instead of punishing them, I think that there should be a rehabilitation center for them so they can be more successful in school and get good grades and go off to college and be successful when they grow up.
Thank you. Very well done. Give them a round of applause. And I want to acknowledge Superintendent Karen Gray's team that was kind enough to host us for the citywide educational town hall at Park Rose High School. Appreciate it. We had a great turnout.
The last three I have are Alicia Hassan, Linda Robinson, and Randy Salazar.
Welcome to City Council. We're glad you're here. Welcome back, Linda. Go ahead.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. I came to give you an update on Gateway Green, and I won't say a whole lot about it, except that we are working on it. We've got, through the Oregon Solutions process, we're about 5 or 6 months into that. We've got a committee, a project team of 30-some people, some subcommittees. We also want to, we're moving ahead. We're hoping to kind of wrap that up and having a tentative structure of an agreement by sometime this summer. I want to acknowledge Jason Tell and Shelley Romero, who are in the audience from ODOT, and thank them for working with us and helping us with this project on this property that lies between, on their land, between two freeways. But I also wanted to say, you don't know how happy I am to see all these people here from East Portland and to see the variety of comments and activities and involvement that they have. You know, I'm getting older and tireder, and I need some of these young people to come up behind
tell us
me.
Tell us it's not so.
But I know for some of them it's their first time at City Council. I remember well the first time I came to City Council 20-some years ago. Wow. And so I know how they feel, and I'm glad to see them here and starting in the process.
Thank you, Linda. And thank you for everything you do. You're the Uber activist. Would you like to go next, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Randy Salazar. I'm no longer a student. I graduated from Portland Youth Builders, which is in East Portland. Mm-hmm. I work at Quango Inc., a small design and graphic company just off of John's Landing, over by the river. And what I'd like to say first off is, what more action can there be than somebody speaking to the mayor right now? Mayor Adams and commissioners. East Portland Action Committee is not only opened my eyes to things that are going on in my community and things that I can do to help to make change, but it's like brought me here to, you know, voice my opinion and my impact. And I mean, everybody else here sitting here, I mean, how much more action is that I'm here and that you guys are here, right? So what I just want to say is that thank everybody for all your support, and I hope that we can get your continued support to see more action like this. I mean, when is the next person going to come and have their first time at City Hall to be able to talk to you and tell you their story? I mean, these are the kind of things that are going on in our community right now, and it's amazing. And I just can't immerse myself enough in it anymore to show how happy and excited I am. What I'd really like to talk about is internships and sun activities. I was unemployed for about 6-7 months, on the verge of losing my house and my car and everything I had, until I looked for internships and jobs everywhere. But with the economy, it was really hard. I found an internship with Quango, really awesome, for 3 months. Work your butt off, you know, show them what you can do, and maybe they'll, you know, talk to you afterwards and hang out after work or whatever. But months after that, they called me up out of the blue and said, hey, would you like to come in for an interview? And I said, yeah, sure. Awesome. I mean, is this another internship? Or no, it wasn't. I came and I got the job. Like, they came and said, Randy, here, sign this paper. We're offering you a position. And all this because I internshipped there. So in my mind, internships are one of the most valuable things for youth today, because I saw that action take place myself. And I'd like to say it take place with other people. Also, what I can't say enough is that I can't turn around enough and thank the people that helped me get the internship and go to it and apply for it. And that's more action that I want to see, is with East Portland Action Plan providing internships and programs that provide internships. Those students, children, youth, people involved in that are going to get those internships, have a great time, you know, blow the water out, and you know, come back and help East Portland Action Committee. and tell their stories like I am now. As for sun activities in schools, we had a sun center in my high school, and that's one of the only places I ever was. Anytime I had time in between my classes, I'd be there talking to the people there that supported me and stuff. And what I see is that not that many people know about sun and sun activities, and I'd like to see that a lot more. And last but not least, this is action. Action is here, action is now. Thank you, East Portland Action Committee.
Good job. Very nicely done.